Well, good afternoon. This is afternoon on Saturday. We're pre-recording this service due, of course, to the coronavirus, as we're all aware of. So welcome as you're watching this at home, wherever you might be, watching it on our church website. Thank you for being with us. Some announcements that I'll go over, mostly about cancellations. Again, is related to this virus. The Good News Kids Club, of course, is just on hold until school would get back into session, and we'll revisit things at that time. The Fellowship of Christian Athletes, our spring banquet was supposed to be next Sunday night, the 29th. That has had to be canceled. Our Menno Olivet Easter Cantata, which would be Palm Sunday, that as well, we had to make the decision to cancel that. Mainly because of our practice sessions and the size of the choir. So several things such as that. And so we live day by day and we keep our trust in the Lord and our focus on Him. Regarding next Sunday morning, the 29th of March, the consistory will discuss that as this coming week goes on, and we will see where we're at with things and let you know via the prayer chain and the Sunday school phone tree, and of course on our website. So we're going to start though here with a praise song today, number 23, In Christ Alone. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones He came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on Him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground His body lay, light of the world by darkness slain, then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave He rose again. And as He stands in victory, since Christ has lost its grip on me, for I am His and He is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Other ground is sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ, I'll stand. Amen. And so it is in Christ alone that we stand and we live and move. We have our being. He is our very life. We'll have a responsive reading from Isaiah chapter 40, verse 17, and if you want to come up, actually, it's verse 27 through 31. I made a mistake there. I'll read the parts where Pastor and Ann will respond with you. So if you're at home, please join in, okay? That's why we're doing this. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God?
Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth.
He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom.
He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak.
Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall.
But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength.
They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and for this service. Certainly very different than what it normally is. But Father, as always, we ask for your power and your presence, the Spirit of the living God, to be here in our midst and to move mightily among us in this sanctuary, those that are helping. Father, all those that are watching, listening, in their homes, in their vehicles, wherever it might be, that you bless them and move in their midst, Lord, that this was as their time of worship. And Father, we honor you. You are the Most High God. There is much to bring to you in prayer, and we will as we go on in this service. Thank you that you are the everlasting God, our Father, the Ancient of Days, and you never leave us, you never forsake us. In Jesus' name, amen. And our opening hymn will be number 705, It Is Well With My Soul. As we sing this, most of you, many of you know the story to this hymn in a time of great tragedy in this man's life. Horatio Spafford is when God gave him the words to this hymn, and it's very appropriate for today and what we are facing in our nation and world. It is well with my soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well, it is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control, that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate, and hath shed his own blood for my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the face shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Amen. I love that last verse. And Lord, haste the day when our faith shall be sight, and the clouds be rolled back as a scroll. We're waiting for that day, the rapture of the church. And could it be? Yes, it will be. I'm going to have just a sharing of joys and concerns here real quick, some things that I'm aware of, mostly birthdays. Actually, I had some text messages if we were going to do that. So tomorrow, the 22nd of March, will be Stella Nuss's 99th birthday. So if you think about it, you send her a card or give her a phone call. That's pretty special. Also today, as we're recording this on the 22nd of March, is Caleb Pressler's birthday and Trent Crick's birthday. And yesterday was Raylan Taylor's birthday. Monday will be Joanne Walters' 70th birthday, so please. And Elaine Zabes is, I think, tomorrow as well. So lots of birthdays right now. Certainly, again, much to pray for, the COVID-19 situation, pandemic that we're in, and I know we are all praying, and much more beyond that. And again, we will have a focused time of prayer as we go on with our service. So I will do that then. I'd like to read from Psalms. We're not having our offering today, but I'm going to read a scripture from Psalms chapter 56, verse 3 and 4, as if we were receiving it. This says, "When I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me?" Amen. We're going to sing the Lord's Prayer here in just a moment. Before we do, I wasn't going to share anything really about the offering, but I'm going to, because someone, a family, actually sent in the mail today, this morning, their offering, and in it, their two children, both colored pictures for me of Daniel in the lion's den. So I just had to share that. That sort of made my day, and they did a great job coloring. So thanks to those two little ones for doing that, and for the family for sending that in. So we'll sing the Lord's Prayer and then go into the Apostles' Creed from that. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory for. Thank you, Father. Yours is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. And Lord, as we're gathered here together in spirit and in truth, Lord, as we just continue our giving to you in many ways as we live our lives, and we know that you are our provider, you are our source. In the good times and the bad, the Apostle Paul said, I know what it is to abound with blessings. I know what it is to be in need. And I have learned the secret of being content in all of these things, in all of these times, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And so it is, Lord, we live in you and in your strength and in your provision each and every day. Thank you for these blessings. In Jesus' name. And Father, we do confess our faith together now through the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven, sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the one holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Amen. This time we're going to have the children's sermonette. Okay. Well, that's fine. That's fine. Which side do you want it on? Here? Are you on?
Or good morning, boys and girls. It's good to see you all. I want to tell you how much Pastor and I miss you being here. Oh, I'm not on. Sorry.
Start over?
Good afternoon, boys and girls. It's good to see you here today. I want you to know how much Pastor Mike and I are missing you. All through this week when we didn't get to have confirmation, and especially the Good News Club, we missed you. And we love you. So I'm glad that you can be here with us today and we can still have our service together. Well, today I'm going to talk about the armor of God. You know, the armor of God that we've talked about before in church and in children's. And so the armor of God, when I think about that, it reminds me of a knight. You know, a knight that would fight years and years and years ago. He would be completely covered in armor from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. Do you think, though, that this soldier, this knight, now would he even think about going into the battle without his armor being on? What do you think? No, of course not. He would not, because would he last in battle for even a couple minutes if he didn't have his armor? Nope, no way, he wouldn't. So that reminds me, too, of us as Christian boys and girls and teenagers and moms and dads, just all of us. We have to cover ourselves in the armor of God when we go through our lives every day. Because the armor of God tells us that in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 18, it tells us about the armor of God. And it says, therefore, put on the whole armor of God, that you can stand against the wiles of the devil. So let's talk just a second about what is the armor of God. Who can tell me some pieces of the armor? You tell whoever you're watching this with. Yeah? The sword of the Spirit. That's right. That's the very last one that we pick up. The sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Who else? The shield of faith? Yes. You have to have your faith, your shield of faith up. Oh. Belt of truth? You got it. Belt of truth. We need the truth of God's word in us. What else? Breastplate of righteousness? That's right. We are right in God's standing. And the helmet of salvation. We are saved through Jesus, right? Did I miss any of them? Did I get them all? I think I did. Anyway, so that's how we need to go into our lives, right, with the armor of God on. So this here, these are representing two people that I'm going to talk about today. This is George, and this is Edward, okay? Edward, as you can see, has his armor on. He's got his all armor on. And now this is George. Now, you know what? George used to be a boy that was on fire for God. He loved coming to Sunday school. He loved coming to VBS. He loved God. But then George started listening to these TV shows that said there is no God. He started hanging around those kids at school that didn't want to go to church. In fact, you know, they kind of called him a sissy or a goody-two-shoes because he went. Little by little, George peeled off his armor. He started looking more like this. And not only that, when he went to school, you know, he started having some attitudes because he was not hanging around the right kids that loved God. He started giving some trouble to his teachers. Not only at school, but also at home. He just got this mad attitude. He was just mad. And he started disobeying his parents. And you know what? As it all kept going, he took off all of his armor. Here he is like this. Now, this represents the world that we are in today. My world, your world, all the trials, all the troubles that come against us. And here is George going into the world without any protection. He doesn't have the armor of God on. He took it off. What do you think, boys and girls? Is George going to sink, or is he going to be able to float above all these troubles? I think you're right. Let's see. There goes George into the world. He didn't even last. He didn't even float for a second, did he? This is just what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to be discouraged. He wants us to be tempted and to fall into that and to do those things that we know in our hearts are wrong. And you know what? He's just going to keep you down. George is down. George can't get up. Come on, let's help him. George, come on. Let's go up. Get up. Get up. He took off his armor. He did not come up, right? That's not how we want to be. And you know what he also forgot? He came to that Good News Club, boys and girls, and he took the scripture home that you all took home last week, 2 Corinthians 5:17. But he forgot about it. He threw it out the window. Let's read it together. You read it with me. This is from our kindergarten first graders. Therefore, if anyone is Christ, in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. There's George, though. He forgot all about that. He chose to not choose God. Okay? So here we go. Here is Edward. Edward has his armor on. Edward had the same upbringing as George did. He went to church. He still goes to church. He loves Sunday school. He loves singing praises to God. He loves reading his Bible. He doesn't have to be told by his parents all the time, read your Bible, read your Bible. He wants to have fellowship with God. He has got his armor on. Okay, so Edward, he's going to go into the same situations, the same temptations, the same trials as George did. Because you know what? We live in a world that has all these things right now. All of us do. We're in the same thing. What do you think, though? Is Edward going to rise above and stay afloat with God's armor on? Or will he be like George and sink to the bottom? I think you're right. Let's see. Here we go, Edward. Woo! Edward popped right up, didn't he? And the devil comes and says, you know what? I don't like that. I'm going to put some temptation on you. Get down. Edward, get down. He can't. He doesn't get down, right? He's in it. He still has troubles and trials and things, just like we do as boys and girls and adults. We still live in this world. But when we have the armor on, that devil cannot hold us down. Watch this. Nope. No matter how he tries, no matter how he tries to put us down, to keep us into sin, to keep us into doing the wrong things, he cannot. He cannot do it. Edward is going to go to heaven. And Edward is going to take a lot of people with him. Let's be like Edward. Let's pray. Father God, we just love you so much. And we're so grateful for this church and for our boys and girls and youth that are a part of this church. And even though our hearts are saddened that we don't get to see them and hug them like we always do, we know that you are with them. You've given us tools. You've given us the armor as part of it. Help us to remember to put these things on, to be an encouragement wherever we are this week, even if it's just at home or with our relatives that are at small in number. We thank you that you have promised to never leave us or forsake us. And you also tell us in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against us will prosper. Thank you for that, Lord. Thank you that no matter what we face, you will keep us above, and one day we are looking forward to seeing you. Bless these boys and girls wherever they are this week, Father. Let their light shine for you and tell somebody else about you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can get your papers from your parents, boys and girls.
Thank you, Anne. We're going to sing Great is Thy Faithfulness. This is from Lamentations chapter 3, and we need to focus on hymns and choruses like this. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Time and harvest,
sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. Join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. That endureth thy own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings are mine with 10,000 beside.
To say thanks to Jennifer Herbolt for playing the piano today, and we have Doug Hondel on video and David Herbolt on sound and Caden Fisher on projection, and they're helping sing back there. So thank you guys. Let's bow in prayer before we look into his word. Father, we thank you for your word, the very living word of God. You speak to us again and again. Lord, the situation we're facing is really nothing new to you. To us, it certainly is. But we look through your word, and time and over again, we see people in very, very difficult, if not seemingly impossible situations. And we see how you delivered them and how you answered their prayers. And we see that today. As we look into this passage, Father, I ask that you'd speak through me by your Spirit to those listening, and I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, starting in verse 1, I'm going to read this whole chapter. This is when Israel as a nation, after they had split, you have the 10 tribes of Israel. You have the 2 tribes of Judah, and this, we're dealing with the 2 tribes of Judah. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites with some of the Munites came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It is already in Hazazon Tamar, that is, En Gedi. Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. All the men of Judah, with their wives and children and little ones, stood there before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite and descendant of Asaph. As he stood in the assembly, he said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. They will be climbing up the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge in the desert of Jeruel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you." Jehoshaphat bowed with his face to the ground, and all the people of Judah and Jerusalem fell down in worship before the Lord. Then some Levites from the Kohathites and Korahites stood up and praised the Lord, the God of Israel, with very loud voice. Early in the morning they left for the desert of Tekoa. As they set out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Listen to me, Judah and people of Jerusalem. Have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful." After consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise him excuse me, for the splendor of his holiness as they went out at the head of the army, saying, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever." As they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men from Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Amen. What a great victory that day. Wow, praise the Lord. So I want to look at this in light of where we find ourselves in our nation and world today. Here I am preaching to an empty sanctuary. That's very different, I will tell you. And did a good job. In case you're wondering, there are no children here. You might have thought there were by how she was doing that. But there are not. You know, it was on, if we sort of lose track of time, but just to review here, it was Wednesday, March 11th, when the World Health Organization declared a global pandemic. Then it was that Friday, the 13th of March, when our President Trump declared a national emergency in our nation. I would imagine that for almost all of us living, this is the first time we have experienced anything like this. As a matter of fact, this week I called some of our elderly 90-plus-year-olds and asked them that question, and they said, "We have seen nothing like it in our lifetime." Certainly, we hear in 1918 about the Spanish flu, which was very devastating, but nothing like this to basically shut down the nation, canceling most all major events. We hear the NCAA March Madness shut down for the first time ever. Hollywood, Disneyland, Disney World closed, and on and on. Schools, concerts, our worship services, unfortunately. Even now, I think it's three or four states now that are in lockdown. What do we do? What do we do? As Jehoshaphat said, we don't know what to do, Lord. Our eyes are upon you. And we need to be. Hebrews 12 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of God. And you know what he's doing there? One of the things is he's praying for us. There. It goes on in that verse 3 of Hebrews 12. It says, consider him. In other words, think about him and what he endured and what he went through, who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary, that you will not lose heart. So what shall we do? Number one, we need to focus on prayer. And I'm sure we are all praying, but I mean we need to be more intent with it and earnest about it. Now, I have to say before I go further, there's a couple little parts of this message that I'm taking a borrowing, I'll say that way, some ideas anyway of it from Reverend David Jeremiah. A lot of you listen to him, Insight for Living. And he had a wonderful message that I had received in an email this week dealing with this pandemic, and it was so good. And so I just want to give credit where credit is due for parts. Certainly I'm not re-preaching his sermon, but just some side notes of it. So what do? We need to focus on prayer. More than, as we know, last Sunday we were able to gather, and President Trump had called a national day of prayer. Thank God that he did. That needs to be every day of our lives. As we see Jehoshaphat, the king, he called a fast and a time of prayer for the people of Judah. And they, of course, they were all able to gather. And I know if we were able, we'd all be here today in this situation. I was thinking back to 9/11, 19 years ago. When that tragedy hit our nation, we were on the reservation yet then, and so we didn't notice things as much as you probably did, but I was told by many that the churches were full right after that, and could be, because it wasn't a contagious disease that was happening. But the sad part, I was told, is that the churches remained full for a couple months, and everybody just went back to life as normal. I think at that time, the NBA kept going, or whatever season we were in, NFL, I guess it would have been at that time, in September. Everything just kept going, as is. But this time is different. The nation has basically been shut down. And so, back to this passage, this vast army is coming against Judah. Were they expected? No, it says in Scripture they were coming from the other side of the sea. So what sea was that? That was the Dead Sea this time. So Jerusalem, which makes very much sense. Jerusalem is up on the mount there. It's high. The Dead Sea is way down low. We know it's even below sea level. It's vast desert. And certainly they had their scouts in the army of Israel and Judah at that time. And they could see this vast army coming across the desert towards them, towards the Dead Sea, which they knew then eventually. It's several miles yet to get up to Jerusalem, but they could see them coming. The army was seen but not expected. How about today? The pandemic we're dealing with, not expected, and it is not seen, is it? The results of it we are seeing, very tragic. But so, prayer, we got to focus on prayer, and that's what they did. Jehoshaphat did with the people of Judah. He called them to prayer, and that, I don't want to read all of that prayer again, but it's a amazing prayer. Oh Lord, he's praying before the nation. God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule. You know what? God rules today too. He is sovereign in the midst of that. You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. And then he goes on talking about the temple that they have there in Jerusalem, that it is a sanctuary for his name, the name of the Lord God. And saying, if calamity comes upon us, then he breaks that down. As in what? Well, maybe the sword of judgment or plague. It's what we're dealing with, isn't it? Plague or famine. We will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and we will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. Again, this vast army and the prayer still going on. He says, we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. And then, we'll get to this later, but then this man Jehaziel begins to prophesy by the Holy Spirit of God. Prayer, it's crucial, it's vital for our nation. Can I still move around? Okay. I've been thinking, you know, we pray, you hear me pray almost every Sunday for our nation, asking God for revival, asking God for a great awakening to turn this nation back to God's word and get us back on track. Not that we were ever perfect. We weren't, but our founding, we know, was on God's word and the truth of his word, and we've departed from that. Could this be what God is going to use to bring that great awakening? Boy, it sure could be. It has brought the nation to a standstill. Across the board, we need to pray for our nation's leaders, our president, and all the cabinet, and all the difficult decisions they're making now. And God is using them and guiding them. And you know what? This is not a time to bash the president. This is a time to pray for him and all in authority, as Scripture tells us to do. We need to pray for the healthcare workers on the front lines of the battle. We need to pray for those infected with this virus and their families and loved ones. We need to pray for all of those that are out of work because of this virus, and that's only increasing, which has led the economy to go in a free fall, so it seems. We need to pray for peace, God's peace, in the midst of panic and fear, and we see it all around, and I hope none of you are out there hoarding the toilet paper and all those things. Good night. Let's have some common sense about this. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer. In everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I can remember the Berlin Wall that was erected in 1961. To keep what was West Germany and East Germany. Communist side had East Germany. The free world had West Germany. The East Germans were trying to escape to freedom, and they built this wall. It was in the Cold War. A lot of you lived through that too. In 1989, that wall was torn down. In 1990, I clearly remember being back at Rhema at the Winter Bible Seminar, and they had, one night they brought up several ministers from East Germany, and they let them speak. And those men said, you know what brought that wall down without bloodshed happening? It was prayer. On their side, the Christians of East Germany were earnestly praying for that to come down. The Christians in West Germany earnestly praying, and it did. It was amazing when that thing came down. Not a fight, not a battle, down it came. That was prayer. I've got a couple more points yet, but I want to take a little bit of time here to pray. We talk about it, but do we do it? And so Jennifer's going to play just on the piano. So if you're watching this at home, having your breakfast in front of your TV or computer, just can you stop with your Cheerios, okay? We're going to pray. You join in too at home, please. Heavenly Father, we see again and again the power of prayer throughout your word. You are amazing. Yes, you are the Lord, the maker of the heavens and earth and the sea and all that is therein. You are sovereign over all. Father, we come to you as a church, as a community, with the believers across this nation and world. We come in prayer to seek your face, Lord. It just as Jehoshaphat said, that whether sword of judgment or calamity or plague or famine, we come and we know that you hear our prayers, Father. Be with the leaders of our nation and around our world, the leaders of Italy who has been hit so hard, China, other countries, Lord, the western part of our nation being hit hard, the east coast being hit hard. Let every part of our nation wake up to realize what we have been doing, to realize how far we have departed from you and your word. Father, and have mercy upon us. We repent of our sin and we ask for you to forgive us, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and to pour out your Spirit upon this land, that once again we could be and act as if we are one nation under God. We pray, Lord, for the healthcare workers in the hospitals and clinics and care centers and the military hospitals and on, Lord. In, as they are literally on the front lines of this battle, keep them safe and strong and healthy. Lord, help there to be enough supplies for what is needed to treat this pandemic. Father, we pray for those that are sick with this or other things. We ask for your healing power to flow through them. Jesus, you are the great physician. For those, Father, who are out of work, thousands upon thousands, hundreds of thousands now in the entertainment industry, in the restaurant industry, in all kinds of ways, who are without work, who I'm sure are greatly concerned of how are they going to make ends meet, from meals to rent payments, utility bills. Lord, for our region, which was hit greatly with the decline in the agriculture economy last year, and now this is to be a double whammy, so to speak, on top of that. But Lord, in all this, you are the way maker. You are the one who moves the mountains that seem like they cannot be moved. And we ask you to do just that. Lord, you are the one who makes a way where there seems to be no way. And our eyes are upon you, Father. And so we do pray for the peace of God that passes all understanding to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And let us be a light to those around us, to those we work with, to those who are letting fear overtake them. Lord, let your peace flow through us to them, that we can encourage them and say, hey, God is greater. God is greater than all. God is faithful. And I pray that people would turn to you, Jesus, in the midst of this, that they would fall on their knees in repentance and cry out to you, the living God. For we do stand in awe of you and your greatness, your majesty and your power. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. And so what do? We focus on prayer. We do it. We do it. Secondly, these other two points are quicker, but we fix our mind on Jesus. Our thoughts, we have got to fix our minds on Jesus. So many times in these situations, we let our thoughts and our minds go to the end, to the worst case scenario of what happens, what could happen And we get all worked up on the inside. Oh, what if this? And then if I can't pay that, then this is going to happen. And I can't pay that. And then this and this and this and this and this. And we don't even know. We don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. So we fix our minds on Him. We don't let fear overtake. If you have extra downtime at home, then use it for God and His Word, a family time in prayer, devotion time, maybe around the supper table, whatever it might be, not just a time to shove another movie in. No, we take this time to seek the Lord. See, fear is the opposite of faith. Fear and acrostic, false evidence appearing real. Isaiah 12:2. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. So we focus on prayer. We fix our minds on Jesus. Third, count your blessings. Count your blessings, right? Ephesians 1, it says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. There's the in Christ. We spent 2 months on who we are in Christ, and here's one we didn't even look at. For He, God, chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. Thursday afternoon, I had a couple phone calls that really blessed me. One gentleman from our church, he called, he says, you know what? You want to know what a blessing is in all the midst of this pandemic? I said, tell me. I mean, yes, I can think of blessings. I said, tell me what you're thinking. He said, I heard on the news recently that, and I don't know where they all are, but around our country, a lot of the abortion clinics have been shut down because of the pandemic. He said, you know what that means, Pastor Mike? I said, I think I do, but tell me. He said, there are 1,000 lives being saved every day because of this pandemic. I said, praise the Lord. That is so awesome. Maybe an hour later, I had to call someone else, another gentleman from the church, about something. We were talking, and he said, you know, you want to hear a blessing in the midst of all this? I said, I sure do. He said, my wife is in the healthcare. She works in the healthcare. And he said, you know, since this has started, when she's been on call on the weekends, and normally that means getting called in a lot, and they don't live real close to the hospital. He said, those calls have dropped way down of people thinking they have to go to the emergency room for a little bit of yowie or a little this or a little that. They're not going. They're staying home. That's a blessing. I said, it sure is. Another man at consistory meeting on Wednesday night, he said, I'll tell you a blessing of this whole thing. I actually get to eat supper with my wife and kids most every night together. There are blessings. Be joyful always. 1 Thessalonians 5:16. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We give thanks in the situation for God's blessing. So let's go back here real quick to this man, Jehaziel. After Jehoshaphat's prayer, he stands up and prophesies to the people. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march down against them. God tells them even where they're going to be coming up this certain pass, specific details. He says, then you will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions, stand firm, and see the deliverance the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. And again, he says, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Go out and face him tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. And of course, then the king that falls down in worship, and all the people do. The next day, the king, what does he do? He appoints men to sing. And I love this part. To praise him for the splendor of his holiness as they go out ahead of the army. And what are they saying? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever. How about you say that with me? Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever. And over again, they begin to sing that and praise the Lord. And you know what? God, it says he caused confusion. The Ammonites and the Moabites, they attacked those guys from Mount Seir, defeated them, and then the Ammonites and Moabites turned against each other, and they were all dead by the time the army of Judah got there. It was an amazing victory, what God had done. And so, don't let fear take hold. We keep our eyes on Jesus. Prayer, focus on prayer. One thing quick, and then I'll close. This morning, about 8:30, my phone rang. It was a man from the church. He said, you know what? I know you have prayer on Sunday mornings at 8:30. You still do that? I said, yes, we do. He said, I've never been able to come because of chores, but I just want to tell you, I think about you every Sunday morning, and I pray for you while I am doing that. But today, I wanted to call you. He said, I know you're recording the church service today, and would you mind if I had prayer with you on the phone? I said, absolutely, please do. And we did, and that just made my day. Let me close in prayer. Father, thank you for this congregation and all who will watch this and listen to it. I wish we were all together. You know my heart and all of our hearts. More than anything, Lord, this is a highlight of our week to gather here. But for this time, it's not to be so. And we thank you for these measures and technology that we can even do this. Help us to be patient, Lord, in the midst of this and to keep our focus on you. Bless the homes, the families, Lord, I should have prayed that before. The families with the children home that normally are in school and all the adjustments that have to be made there. Thank you for your grace that is more than enough. Your grace that is amazing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to sing our closing, we'll call it a hymn, song, Amazing Grace. My chains are gone. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good. to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be. As long as life endures, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me. And like a flood, His mercy reigns. Unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. Will be forever mine. You are forever mine. Amen. Please receive the benediction. Now unto Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. We'll see what next week brings. Thanks for joining in.